It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Kirk Maynard.
And I'm Jamie.
And we need to change our title up. What are you on?
I don't know. I've had some caffeine
You're
today.
High in life.
I've been up early this morning. I got up early. I already had a showing this morning. It was fabulous.
I got up like at 5, which is not
well.
Normal.
Okay, I did not.
And I went back to bed.
I did get up. Actually, I got up at 5. I let the dogs out. Ooh, do 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 do. I had a Diet Coke at 8 a.m., which is completely inappropriate, but I was like, coffee.
It's bad for you, by the way.
I know. It's very bad for those of us that drink Diet Coke. Love it.
Chemicals.
I endorse it, so if Diet Coke hears this and they want to drop off Diet Coke, feel free. I'll give you my address. I would be a sponsor of Diet Coke. No problem. All right, so.
I'm drinking a plant-based energy drink.
Are you?
Yep.
With caffeine?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to have caffeine, but yeah.
Yes. From Buckos.
We make it at home.
Do you really? You make your own?
Yeah.
Is that why they come in your drinking cup, your roadies? I guess I always thought you went to Buckos, poured them in a roadie cup so that people didn't know. I didn't know you made them at home.
Oh, we've been at home for, a few years.
Nice.
Because we're cheap.
I don't think so, for as much as you go to all the places and support all the small businesses here.
All right, do you want some fun facts?
Yeah, let's do fun facts.
Okay, we haven't done stats in a while.
Okay.
So, glad Lisa's not here because
she loves that part. That's her favorite. It's her favorite.
All right, so this is our monthly year-to-year comparison. So we're looking at June of this year compared to June last year. We look at the volume of sales, the number of sales, the percentages that have gone up or down, the average sales price has gone up or down, how many listings are on the market, if that's gone up or down, and then days on market, if that's gone up or down.
Okay.
Actually, we're not going to do days on market today. Okay. So, and we'll break down by area. So the first area is North Fairbanks. North Fairbanks is kind of your anything above north of Airport Way. That's in town. So the number of sales is down 17%. The volume is down 32%. So volume is actually the number, like from 4 million down to 2.7 million. The average sale price 1 year ago was $334,000, and in June of this year it was $272,000, so it went down 18%.
Wow. Okay.
We'll look at it as a whole. So again, this we're looking at 10 sales, 12 sales. So
yep.
Quantity active is down 3%. So Badger Rural North Pole is up. So start with quantity sold up 15%. Volume is up 37%. Average sale price is up 19% from $333 to $396. Again, this is just June, but we are looking at 45 sales.
Yeah.
So it's a meaningful number. And the quantity on the market is up 11% from 100 to 111 properties. The city of North Pole, again, this is a small number, so we're talking about 3 properties versus 10 properties. It's down 70%. The median sales price is down 75%. I don't know how that's possible. Well, that's volume sold, 75%.
Okay.
Average sales price is down 17% from $334 to $276. And number of active is up 6%. I'm going to skip out of area. East Rural, that's my hood. This is only 6 sales, zero change, so down 17% from 366 to 305 average sales price, and it went from 20 to 31 properties, so it's an increase of 55% on the market. Again, this is just a 1 month snapshot, June to June. East Fairbanks is, I'll go a little quicker on these, so no change on number of sales, average sales price down 7%, number of listings down 4%. Southwest Fairbanks, so think kind of like Chain Ridge-ish, sales, there was only 2 sales this year, 2 sales last year, weird. They are down, average sales price is down 8%, this can't be, Southwest Fairbanks, not Southwest Rural, Southwest Fairbanks is over by West Fred Myers-ish. Average sales price from 201 to 185, and inventory is down 31%. West Fairbanks, so think farther west of West Fred's. The number of sales down 62%, volume 65%, the average sales price 7%, so 391 to 365. Inventory went from 35 listings to 19, so it's down 46%.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Southwest Rural, now think Chain Ridge, is up 11%, so went from 9 sales to 10 sales. The volume went up 29%. The average sales price went from $425 to $493.
Wow.
The number of active listings went from 20 to 28, so that's an increase of 40%. Those are all important numbers.
It'd be so interesting to have something that told us, like, are less people moving because they finally found their forever home there? What's the statistic behind? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, like, the area, when I think of Chena Ridge, sometimes, like, when I am selling up there, a lot of people are kind of trying to find their forever home.
Mm.
So it's – and then people that are selling are downsizing or they're leaving to go out of state because they don't want that much house anymore. So things that are coming on the market, a lot of them are pretty large.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that – why? And then people over, like, they over go over, we're competitively bidding for them. But then a lot of houses in the maybe West Fred's area, that area are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of not starter homes, but they're a little bit smaller. So they stay on the market a little bit longer.
What we could do is bump these sales up against the borough data. And that tells us, it could tell us how long somebody's been in their house. We'll tell you the age of the house.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can discern the exact age of somebody who's moved
out
of
there. It'd just be interesting to just see.
Let me think about that one.
I just am thinking of, like, how I'm selling houses and who's kind of looking when – not that some people aren't younger couples looking further out, but I do place a lot of younger couples in the inside, in town,
because
mm-hmm. They want to be on, you know – city well and septic, and they want to be or sewer, I'm sorry, they want to be closer to all the amenities. Further out, I feel like sometimes that's a retirement home, so they're willing to go, not retirement home, I don't mean it in a in a kind of derogatory way, but like they want a larger house, they want to be a little bit more acreage. It'd just be interesting if that's why the prices have gone up versus, you know, I don't know.
Yep, no, I know exactly what you're after.
I guess when you start picking stats, you're kind of like, why does it do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Nope, that's a good idea. Northwest Rural, think more Murphy Dome area. Four sales a year ago, four sales this June, so no change. Average sales price went from $300 to $379, so it went up 26%. Inventory went from 28 to 22, so that's a 21% decrease. Rural Fairbanks, think Farmers Loopish. It went from four sales a year ago to 13, so that's a 225% increase.
Wow.
Farmers Loop has always been a rockin' area, FYI. But again, it's four sales to 13 sales, not 4,000 to 13,000.
Right.
So, but it's still an important number. Average sales price from $341 to $375, so it's an increase of 10%, and 31 listings to 49 listings, so an increase of 58% in inventory. Chena Hot Springs Road, there's so few sales there, I'm just going to skip past it. Same with Salcha. Delta is up 83% in sales. Average sales price is up 7%. Zero change in inventory. That's interesting. Southeast Fairbanks, think of the trendy Soku district. Very few sales there, so I'm just not going to pull those numbers up. But I do want to roll them all up into now the residential and look at that number. This will be the most meaningful number as a broad paintbrush swath of what's going on in the market. So 1 year ago, there was 115 sales in June. This year, 124 sales. So that is up 8% from last year. Volume last year was 40 million in June. This year, 45 million in June. That's up 12%. Again, that's just the value of the homes to put together. Average sales price last year was in June, 353. This year was 367. So prices went up 4% year over year in June. Inventory 422 last year, inventory 447. So inventory is up 6% in June year over year. Real quickly, I'm not going to do the same breakdown. I'm just going to roll all the way up on land. Let's see. Look at land. What happened? Okay. So land sales are up 4%. Volume is up 11%. Average sales price from 57 to 60. That's up 6%. And inventory is down 18% from 475 land listings to 388. Again, that's all June to June. Commercial, we don't have data on. Multifamily, let's see if there's enough data now. Not a lot.
And maybe we should also, I hate to cheese out, but maybe we should also look at like almost quarterly and see what summer looks like then compared to fall, winter, you know what I mean? Like, and then winter and just see if there's...
You want me to do it now?
No. When we finish summer, let's pull that statistic from like May, June, July, okay, and then August, September, October, then sure, November. You know what I mean? And see, yep, if we see it, any kind of trend jump out at us. Because it is kind of interesting when you think about, it's almost a buyer's market and a seller's market, depending on where you live. Because we have some places that the price in house has gone down a little bit. So if you decide...
Where have you seen that?
Well, how we just said, some of the houses prices have gone down a little.
Oh, the average sale price?
Yeah, the average sale price has gone down a little bit, depending on where you want to live. But if you're kind of living in the rural areas, those house prices have stayed strong. They've actually gone up. And it's not every house. Depends on what the house is. Depends on if it's a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
Depends on, you know.
So Jamie's suggesting look at a bigger batch of data, which would be 3 months versus 1 month. I totally agree.
Right.
That'll give us a better indicator. So
and
I'm
it also
totally on board
could
with that.
It maybe also could help people who think what season might be a really good season for me to start looking. That might be something. Again, it's all going to depend on the house.
Now I've analyzed data by quarter of my own sales and then our borough/board of realtor sales, and I look at it quarter by quarter, and I throw the stat out all the time. In any given quarter, we don't do more than 35% of our sales. In any given quarter, we don't do less than 20% of our sales, which proves that we're active all year long.
Yes.
We all know that Thanksgiving and New Year slows down, but picks back up again in January, as it does nationwide.
But really, for the last 2 years, that's not been accurate for us.
Next week, I'm going to be a nerd again.
Yeah. But I mean,
that out.
You know what I mean? Like, we've not slowed. 3 years ago, we slowed down in November and December. The last 2 years, we've stayed pretty consistent.
Yep. No, that's true.
In November and December, and it has just not slowed down, because I think transfers, military, relocation, people leaving, it's just people have just continued to go. And I don't feel like 3 years ago we had a really slow. I was like, wow, I can almost slow down and catch up during Thanksgiving and some of the holiday stuff. I've not felt that way in 2 years, which, knock on wood, you know, lovely area that we're in, but it's just been really busy. So I think it's great, but I'm just trying to think of statistically when people think about, well, should I buy a house? Normally I tell people, you know, if you want to try to think about things, it might be in the winter time. But
what else are you seeing the market doing before we jump into closing? And I'm still seeing multiple offers. I'm getting today
gosh,
in 2 hours, an hour and a half.
Yes.
I'm sitting down with somebody with multiple offers. We're seeing land moving.
Land is moving. You have to go in regardless of whatever.
I just got a cash offer while I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
I mean,
have to be pre-approved. I can't stress that enough. Things are moving off the market like crazy. If things have sat.
I had a Jamie experience, and I usually don't roll around with people without asking them if they're working with another realtor or broker, and don't ask, make sure they're pre-approved before we go look at houses. I think you had started with them. That's not your fault. My fault.
Yeah.
And I think we're in Canada, and I think I asked him if he's pre-approved. Maybe he said he hadn't gone that far yet, but he was selling his house down in Tennessee. And
yes.
But yeah, I just want to make sure, because they want to go see, you know, 25 houses now. If you're listening, I'm just kidding. It was like 10. Yeah, we want to make sure you're pre-approved, because you don't want to disappoint yourself and you don't want to waste your time. So, get pre-approved is
and especially
kind of,
I think it's really frustrating when they find the perfect house, and that has happened to me more times than not, where we find the perfect house. They don't think that they're going to find the perfect house, and they find everything off their checklist, and then they're working on getting pre-approved as quickly as they possibly can, and we lose the house. And then every house, I think, in the last 7 houses I've put offers on, maybe the last 10, has been competitive offers.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I've written the best competitive offers ever, and I just lost out to, or we did, to a cash offer. Walked in with cash, and I just went.
There's a lot of cash flow out there.
Yeah.
So the one I'm reviewing today, I think 2 of the 3 are cash.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of cash offers. The girl who just sent me people in Lower 48 call them a love letter, but I call them a cover letter, but a letter saying, hey, this is who's buying the house.
Yeah.
Here's what our intention is with the house. She sent me this text last night. She goes, over the last year, I've probably written 6 offers for this gentleman, and we keep on getting beaten out with cash or something. And then a little emoji. But,
So,
it's frustrating. I get it.
Yes. I mean, to me, the best advice I always give buyers.
Sell your kids and take the cash and buy a house.
Yes, yes. But don't get emotionally attached. We'll find what we're supposed to find. It will come along. sometimes the process is just meant to take a while, but this is what we're here for. This is the job. You know, the job is sometimes we write five offers. Sometimes we got to take a little break. To me, sometimes the buyer has to take a little break while us as the realtors are still looking. We're constantly looking. Sometimes I go by myself and look at, does this really meet all the criteria? And if I think it does, then I bring them on. Sometimes I'm like, there's no way. This would be a waste of time for the client. It looks appealing, but the pictures are not doing it justice. It's not the space that they really want at all. We would come out here and it would be a dud. So I think that we keep going while they kind of take a little bit of a time out to just decompress. And then when we're ready to go again, then we write another offer. So
lastly, I would say, and regarding cash, at today's sales meeting, I did bring up that Fannie and Freddie now have to recognize crypto as a form of an asset.
Yeah. So if you have that, bring it up.
Bring it on.
Tell your lender.
Bring it up.
What do we do? We do 20 minutes and then we have a break?
Right.
So we have some time?
Yeah, let's do a break.
Okay. So if you're just joining in, we're going to do a show your final walkthrough when you come back. We've been talking a lot about stats, so hopefully you've tuned in, and we'll have some great stats for you next week as well. But today we're going to talk about your final walkthrough after you've purchased your house. So
BRB.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
And Jamie.
So if you're just joining us, we've been talking a lot about stats, things that are going on in our market. Kirk and I are definitely seeing...
crazy?
Yes.
So crazy.
So be prepared for multiple offers. If you're looking, competitive offers, we have tons of shows on that, how to... mentally prepare yourself, how to work with your realtor to write those offers, how to, you know, have your lender prepared. So we just have a lot of back material if you're interested in that kind of show. But today we want to talk about your final walkthrough, because those are so important. Sometimes that's get skipped over. And I cannot tell you, we have so many lessons learned on the final walkthrough. It's very valuable. It's required in our office. It's something we always do, usually the day of closing or sometimes the night before closing.
Yep. Oh, yeah, day before, day of closing is when I try to do it.
It just depends on, to me, it's all timing.
Yeah, for me, it's I want to get as close to that recording possession,
yes.
You know, them taking out, you know, their titles in their name, as close to that as possible. But you want to have a little time because sometimes the dishwasher isn't working. You want to get a little work done. So you won't want to push it too close.
Yep.
But you want to, and the purpose of it is you want to see if it's in the same shape as you thought it would be if when you get keys and you're going to move in. So you don't want to be shocked like, oh my God, this carpet, this rug was covering this big missing piece of carpet. Holy moly. Or, well, they took this down and now there's a big chunk missing here. Or the window's gone. Or the mover clicked this. Or they had a fire in the last week and didn't tell us about it. Or, I mean, I could go on and on and on in the million different things. And so, and we have a checklist and we've been doing this for 20 years. We just have a good thorough checklist to go through it. And it's silly because not everybody does this.
Yes. So the one thing that
and it's just insane.
Always look at is if we've added things to the chattel, I always take the chattel list with me or I write the chattel items onto, because sometimes I have additional items.
Yep.
So
that's on our checklist.
Specifically this time, though, I had some wonky chattel items that we added. So I added some patio furniture. I added.
Have you ever done a plow truck or a mammoth bone?
That I have not done. But I, you know, sometimes we forget those things. So I am really, really. We added the generator. I've added a snowplow. I've added a lawnmower. We've added the extras. And so it's always really important to me to make sure that those extra chattel items get entered, because that can easily be forgotten because it's on the earnest money offer or agreement. So it's really important. Sometimes your buyer has the one item in their head that they're excited about, but then they don't remember the rest of the items that you've included. So I think as a realtor, it's really imperative that we have all those items written down. So I love the checklist, because if I need to bring the whole list, then I just write the whole list onto the onto our checklist so that I can check those items off and make sure that they're there and they're working. And they're exactly in the state that we left them in. So normally I take pictures of those items and then just to make sure it's actually
totally smart
the item. And I do that generally at the engineer inspection, because sometimes during the showing they didn't ask for that item. But then, you know, like during the initial showing, they sometimes don't think about that. But then as we're writing up the offer, they're like, you know what? Do you remember how we saw this?
So I take pictures during the showing.
You do. You're A game on that.
Just because you're not going to, in my experience, you're not going to get everything just out of the MLS listing or the disclosures or the pictures that they provided. So I've missed sheds before. I've missed firewood. I've missed propane tanks. I've missed.
Yes.
So I take pictures.
And I want to stress sheds, because I've actually had the whole thing fell through. And so we didn't close on that. But I actually, sheds were in the MLS, and the gentleman toward the end when we were getting ready to close, it turned out this offer went, like, there were other things that blew it up. But toward the end, he decided he was going to move all the sheds off the property. And so I had not included them in the chattel list in the original write-up because they were on the MLS. So I figured, oh my gosh, now after that learning lesson, I think in year two for me, sheds are always included. So if it has five sheds on the property, I write five sheds. If it has one shed on the property, I write one shed. All because of that, because I had not ever seen somebody go and remove every single shed. And that was like a huge selling point. Like, he had sheds of all different
sizes.
In
21 years, that's never happened to me.
Yeah. Of course not. Of course not. This is what I hear every week.
It's a running
thing
with us.
Yep. Never happened. But happens to me all the time. So I always include the sheds now, just because I don't want to take any chances. And a lot of people get excited that they're going to have at least that storage. So it's always on
chattel. Chattel, by definition, from an attorney who came in and spoke with us and had went through, I believe, some sort of precedent he was quoting, is pretty much anything that's bolted, anything that can be removed without causing damage,
right,
is called chattel. So it needs to, so shed can be removed if it's, you know, not a permanent, it can be without damaging the ground. So if it's, so, and I also prep my buyers when we're walking through the first house. I say, hey, whenever we're zoning in on a house, y'all need to help me by remembering anything that you see. Like, hey, there's a bunch of shelving in the garage. You guys are interested in that shelving? It's not built in, so we need to put it on the chattel list. So if you're zoning in on a, you know, not zoning in a house, but, you know,
right,
whatever. This is a house we're going to write up. You need to help me remember if there's stuff that's important to you guys.
Yes.
Play sets. I mean, and we could go on and on and on.
And you can ask for anything. I think it's important for a realtor to, the only thing I ever do is just like cautionary. If we're running in a competitive offer, if we're putting so much on the chattel list, then I sometimes say, if these items are going to deter from the competitiveness of our offer, then they can be removed. But I ask the buyer if that's okay.
Yeah.
So like if we're, hypothetically, if we're putting a riding lawnmower on there and that's going to be the make or break because they thought, well, I'm going to sell that for $5,000 and they want that on the chattel list, then I'm not interested in going with them because now they feel like they're in the hole with our offer, then that's an optional item for us. So again, we can write things on the chattel list that if it's not deterrent in our offer, then great, we get it. But if it is, then we don't. So just things to think about. But like Kirk said, the walkthrough is really for us to go back through the whole house, touch everything, make sure everything's in the same condition. So we should be looking at every room, the closets, the crawl space. Again, I just went into a house. We went down to the basement. We started in there. There was water. The carpet looked kind of wet. Because of all this heavy rain about 2 or 3 weeks ago when it really started pouring.
Uh-huh.
But it was just off color. And it could have been like, you know how you touch a carpet and rub it and it changes the way the shag goes?
Yep.
That's what I thought it was. And so she was like, oh, this is weird. I didn't realize it was that kind of carpet. Well, I reach down. I touch everything. Like, I know I'm going to wash my hands when I'm done, but I touch everything. Touched it and went, this carpet is soaked. Walked around, realized the crawl space was soaked, went into the sump pump room, realized water was coming out of there, immediately called the other realtor, realized we had a problem. Great that it happened during the final walkthrough. We could stop, get things repaired.
Yep.
But again, had I not touched that and we had just walked, I don't know that we would have seen that what we were dealing with. So that's really why I have become, I mean, I've been tactile for other reasons because I have noticed a lot of damage before by touching things and being like, well, this doesn't make any sense why this would be sticky or why this would not open or whatever. And especially if a buyer points anything out to me, then I'm immediately want to touch it, feel it, see what's going on, or if like a window doesn't open. But we're really checking for...
Can I go through our checklist real quick?
No, go ahead.
Speaking of checking.
Yeah.
Okay, so our checklist. So we have kitchen. So we'll go ahead and turn on the range or the oven, heat that up, make sure all the burners are working. Turn them back off, make sure your kids don't touch it while they're hot. We go through the refrigerator. We just want to know, hey, it's totally dirty. Okay, sorry, it's a seller's market. We didn't ask them to professionally clean it because we're in a seller's market right now. So, but just so you know, it's dirty and it needs to be cleaned. So I'll write that in other or discrepancies. Mostly under other microwave, if the microwave is supposed to be there, if it's built in, or we ask for the chattel list. So we'll test it, make sure it works. Same with the dishwasher. We'll turn that on. The disposal, if there is one, we'll flip that on to make sure it's working. All the sinks, but we're in the kitchen right now. Make sure that it's, you know, there's water, and then make sure there's hot water is what we're really after. Same with the bathroom. So we'll check the shower and tub. We'll check the water in there. The toilet, we'll flush it and make sure there's nothing weird there. Same with the sinks and the faucets. We just want to make sure hot water is running. Some miscellaneous stuff. We just want to make sure there's heat in the house.
Yep.
Plenty of times we've, you know, it's 58 degrees in here. It's set at 70 degrees. Why is that? Something's wrong. We got to pause. Hey, we got to hold up recording. Let's go figure out what's the heating issue. The indoor lighting, the exterior lighting. We want to look at the doors. The doors change. Did somebody bump a hole in the doors? Are they off the closets? Did somebody magically put them back on the closets? That's a little joke because none of our people like to have doors in their closets up here in the interior Alaska.
They do like a mirror, though, a good mirror.
Yeah, especially the ones built in the pipeline days. The windows, we're checking to make sure to see if those are cracked. If they remember them, maybe they were covered with a bunch of stuff. Maybe a tenant had them. I don't know. But we just want to make sure there's no surprises there. Flooring, we've seen, again, I mentioned the carpets, rugs being removed. There could be stains that were covered up before. They could be, anything could happen. Somebody could have dropped a couch and dented it. Yep. I've seen cracked tiles that weren't there before. You name it, we've seen it. Wood stove. So we want to make sure that wood stove that was there is
We don't start it, but we want to make sure it's correct.
There.
Yes.
I don't do it with a pellet stove either, but we want to make sure it's there.
Yep.
And then the wood pile, if they're supposed to, if you ask for the wood, I've seen all sorts of crazy stuff with wood.
Yeah.
Laundry room.
I think we're going to have to finish this up next week.
Oh, no, I know. Jamie.
Yeah.
Okay,
which
everybody.
Which is good because there's some good stuff. We have a lot of good stuff on the final walkthrough.
Have you ever heard that good stuff, Maynard?
No.
Yeah, I guess Google it when we're out of here. I will tell you what it's all about.
Oh, no.
All right, Jamie, we know you're phenomenal and you're awesome and you're smart and in your 5 years, you've packed in like 50 years.
Oh, my God.
So how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, give us a call at 907-378-2400. I'd love to help you buy or sell a house, or I'd love to help you get connected with our property management team if you're looking for a rental.
Awesome. You guys enjoy your Saturday. Stay tuned for Behind the Mission and the United Way. Take care.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.